The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. I am Dirk Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the revolutionary Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mr. Hooper?
Well, I smell like gas.
Yes, you do.
Amazingly enough.
You have a gassy smell.
And maybe not what you're thinking.
Maybe it's not, but maybe it is.
Maybe it is what you're thinking. Apparently, I have a problem putting gas in Princess Zoe's pretty truck.
Apparently you
because
do.
I got it all over me, and I got it all over the truck, and now everything on the planet smells like
you
gas.
You put the gas in the vehicle just fine, Dirk.
Mostly.
It was when you were exiting the hose from the hole.
Well,
there.
What I had was I had some premature ejaculation.
You had something happening over there.
From the truck.
Now the whole inside of the truck fucking smells like gas. What
yes,
the fuck?
It does.
That's wrong.
It's the first time I've ever done that.
If you weren't texting while you were gassing, you would pay attention.
Sometimes you have to gas and text.
No, you might blow something up like that.
That's a good point.
Stop.
It's a good deal that I wasn't also smoking. If I was smoking and texting and filling up.
So you're fucking putting gas in the truck. You're sitting there texting. And instead of like turning the nozzle off before you take it out of the hole, you just like take it out like gas is going everywhere. Like in, you know, Zoolander or whatever, having the gas party.
Right.
Play
yes,
out there.
Exactly. Just like Zoolander. That's right where I was going with that. So you may not realize this, but this is actually our Evolution of the Revolution episode.
They may not realize that.
But now you do. And realizing is half the battle.
So what does that mean exactly?
Well, what that means is that we went to Albuquerque in September of 2011.
Yes,
so it was actually September 16th and 17th of 2011.
Yes.
To see Evolution of the Revolution number 2.
We were there. It was great.
It was great. I mean, just in general, I want to say, I would say that overall I had the most fun at this event than any other event that we've attended so far.
Well, everything about it was great. From the people that put it on, to the staff, well, I guess it would be the people that put it on, but to the hotel, the Hard Rock Hotel, the staff at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Hotel and casino.
Every part of it was awesome. Yeah. And the people the presenters, everybody that was there, the guests that came, everything was awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that, I mean, we'll kind of break down exactly what all of that means here soon.
And they looked good. They dressed nice.
Yeah, they did dress
nice. And they
smelled
good. They didn't smell like gas.
what are you saying exactly?
That's it.
You know, we are based in Oklahoma City, and we traveled out to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, yes, we did.
And we were in a utility van.
Yes, we were.
So we didn't exactly arrive in like a limousine.
We didn't fly in
on like a personal jet. No. And then arrive in a limousine. We were thankful
for the utility van.
Absolutely. 100% thankful for the generosity in getting us there.
Yes.
With all of our stuff, and we had a lot of stuff.
Fucking we did, yes.
But we also stopped at every bathroom along the way.
Because you guys have to fucking shit
no,
every
no, no.
fucking
not
5 minutes.
Not you guys. Not you
Whatever.
Guys. There were members of our landing party that had to stop at every bathroom.
And tear the fuck up out of the bathrooms.
And
I'm talking people running out of the place.
Had to be there for 45 minutes every time. Like we were choke slamming, you know, like 7-Eleven burritos or something every 15 minutes.
It was nasty. You're nasty.
It wasn't me. It was not
Whatever.
Me. It wasn't me.
Dudes. I was the only chick. It was all dudes. It was just a dude mobile.
Pretty much. So when we arrived in Albuquerque, it was time to, you know, get dressed up. I mean, immediately, because they had a big event planned that evening, that first evening on Friday.
It started with a cocktail party.
It was a cocktail party. It was like, but it wasn't just a, you know, a normal cocktail. I mean, you were supposed to dress up.
And people were in tuxedos. Yeah. I think the other Dirk, there was a guy named, a guy there named Dirk, also not Dirk Cooper, in a tuxedo. And you weren't in a tuxedo, although you look very nice, I might add.
Thank you.
Very smashing, darling.
I wore a suit and I figured that I'd probably be dressed up as good as anyone else there, but someone beat me.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned another guy named Dirk.
I'll be damned if that ever happens again.
And his name was Dirk.
I will not be outdressed.
Especially by anyone else named Dirk.
Yeah, what the hell? The guy's name is Dirk. He's like my mirror version. I apologize to Princess Zoe and anyone else out there who doesn't want to hear my geeky horseshit tonight.
Whatever.
So anyway, the cocktail party was great. They had obviously drinks there, which is cool, and all of the guests and stuff, but also some food, which we appreciated.
And they had nice food. They had shrimp.
Yeah, like really
nice food.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Yeah.
So we set up next to the bar.
Yes, we did.
And then magically, overnight, some fetish show elves came and changed our setup. And so the next morning when I get up and I go downstairs to see our setup, instead of us being in this little, you know, kind of boxy area or something, we were then in the bar area, which was like in a corner. So we had a little bit more space, and it was spectacular. The setup was spectacular.
Thank you very much.
There was like a roped-off area, and there was a multimedia area, and like the whole, you know, the backdrop and all of the goodies.
Yes.
The showgirls, the reindeer.
And I might add the paper
because
products.
Nothing says party like reindeer.
There was no fucking reindeer.
Oh, okay.
However, I did stay up the whole night before moving everything over after the party just because I wanted our setup to be perfect for Evo Revo. And it was perfect. After the bar moved out, I have to say it was in the space where the bar was. So the bar had left and I said, hey, that corner is our space. So I took it over, and actually the people that worked there the night shift helped me quite a bit.
That's amazing.
I had to send our own crew to bed. They were driving me crazy. I love them, but it was time for them to go to bed. They had been up too many hours, and they were trying to help me to death.
So they were literally crapped out.
They were. Fucking yes. So they went to bed, and I got on it, and about the time people were coming in from the next morning to start up the next day of Evo Revo, was about ready to head to bed. So that was it. I'm glad you liked it.
It looked awesome, actually, because we had, you know, prior to that, we had gone through several evolutions of our own where we would go to these events and we had, you know, we used sometimes our own table and sometimes someone else's table, and we would take vinyl banners and put them up and that sort of thing. This is the first time that we actually had our own wall. We had our own table. We had our own, you know, our own setup. I mean, it was all ready to go.
We do have our own setup. We have done a lot of changes, and we've invested in a lot of things. We have our own convention show, I should say, setup.
Right, and it's like a multimedia experience. I mean, it's not just us recording, but it's also some music and some interaction with people even when we're not recording. And mm-hmm. A place to meet with us or to, you know, maybe meet guests or
maybe
whatever.
To see some of your photography work or
right.
something like that.
Right. I mean, and it's expanding all the time.
Maybe
we'll continue
for me to
evolve.
Ass.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Or for us to maybe do a little video to
maybe.
Do some interviews
maybe,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So anyway, I just wanted to say that Princess Zoe did an amazing job. She didn't get any sleep that night, by the way. Seriously. Seriously.
Well, you couldn't tell the next day.
No, absolutely not.
No, I still looked good.
I know, you did. You always look good.
Oh, well, thank you. However, our room was fucking demolished.
Oh, my God.
Every time I, like, turned over on the bed, it was like shit was, like, falling off everywhere. It was horrible. I didn't put anything away. It was like I was just in and out, like, 5 minutes flat.
Imagine every horizontal surface covered in some sort of Zoe detritus.
Whatever.
It was like a scene from Twister.
It was like a scene from Twister, I have to admit. But I had no time. I couldn't stop and fuck with that shit.
I thought maybe Gary England was going to tell us that there was like an F5 tornado that came through the middle of our room.
Well, think how many times I have to change clothes. I mean, it's not like I just go down there and I have one outfit on. No, I have to change clothes for like every fucking thing.
I know.
Well,
I know. You're
to.
Like Lady Gaga.
Well, sort of. What? Lady Gaga.
After every song, you've got a costume change.
Well, anyway.
It's amazing.
I do have a costume change after everything.
And by the way, the fucking keys. Seriously. We had like
keys.
We had two different rooms, and we had sets of keys for each of the rooms. And of
and
course,
for everyone in the rooms.
And it's not like, remember back in the old days when you used to get like a block of wood with like a key on it that had
the
room number?
No, I don't remember that.
They don't do that anymore. Now what they do is they give you this cute little credit card looking thing, and it doesn't have the room number on it. So if you happen to have two different rooms, then both of the keys look exactly the same.
Well, our techs went with us, and they each had keys to their own room and keys to our room, and we had keys to their room, and we had each other's keys, and it was just a fucked up key mess.
Well, let me tell you what the issue is. The issue is that every time that Princess Zoe would go up to the room, she would forget her key.
Or lose it.
Or forget or lose her key, one of the two. And so she would come and get my key, because I don't lose keys.
You do if you give them to me.
And she would take my key and never give it back.
I'm going to lose the motherfucker.
And
what do you
so
think?
Every time I went up there, I either, A, didn't have a key, or B, had the wrong key.
Well, what's wrong with
I had
with
the
you?
Key for the other room.
What's wrong with you?
Well, in general, there's nothing wrong with me as much as my desire to give you a key so you can get into the room, and then my inability to get that key back.
You could have went to the front desk.
Oh, my God. Every time I want to go to the room?
That's what I did 99% of the time when I couldn't find you.
That was fantastic. That was a lovely experience.
I usually wasn't wearing much either, so I kind of had to find you.
That's a good point. And finally, I want to say two other things. Number one, I want to say that if you weren't there on that, I believe it was that Friday evening, that Jason DuBois offered to shine you up because you were
in a
saucy little latex number.
I was wearing a latex cat suit.
Right. It was super shiny to start with. And then Jason DuBois gets a hold of you and absolutely goes to town shining you up. And
well,
I have to admit.
He did use his tongue somewhat there, too.
There was some tongue,
some
let's
tongue
say,
action.
Action. Let's
yes,
say tongue
was.
Action. There was definitely that.
Yes. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. Well, Jason did a number on you.
Yes,
and,
to say the least.
If you're interested in seeing what that looks like, it is actually posted right now on the Fetish So site.
That's right.
We have pictures.
That's right.
Of that. And
on my FetLife account.
Oh, is that right?
Find it there, yeah. I have some on there, too.
Is that just Princess Zoe?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yes.
If you want to see some of that.
There you go.
And finally, I want to say that we appreciate the contributions of Patron to our Saturday evening.
Oh, my goodness.
We had a little Patron on Saturday evening and had a good time.
Yes, we did. We did.
Just to say the least.
Yes, we had a great time.
We've got some other things that we want to cover, but right now what we want to do is we want to get to our first interview.
Right on.
Our first interview is with Vi Johnson.
I love her.
From the Leather Library. You want to talk about her for a little bit?
Well, I would just like to say she's dear to my heart, and she actually brought a tear to my eye.
She
I
did.
Should say, I know. She's awesome, and she's somebody that I definitely could see me staying in touch with for years to come. And the work that she's doing is incredible, and I'm very pleased to have had the opportunity to have interviewed her, because we actually had chased her down at a couple of events prior, and
right,
we
yeah.
didn't get to catch up with her, but we caught up with her, and happy to say we got an interview with her.
She's extraordinary.
Yes, she is.
I mean, if you meet her and you don't fall in love with her, then there's something wrong with your wiring, right?
She's awesome, yes.
Let me read this thing on her. Vi Johnson, the librarian, is a leather woman, activist, author, and archivist who embarked on her journey in the leather BDSM scene in the early 1970s, a strong advocate for the necessity of preserving leather fetish erotic history. Johnson speaks and writes with a single-minded focus on the broad spectrum of issues that concerned her and her community.
She's awesome. And
nice,
her work,
right?
is awesome. Yes, that is awesome.
The Leather Library. She's taking care of that
in.
Brought it
we're
around.
We're in the Leather Library.
Right?
Yes, we are.
We've got some stuff there.
Yes, we do.
Very interesting. So anyway, here is our interview with the one and only Vi Johnson. We're at Evolution of the Revolution in New Mexico, and our first interview is with Vi, also known as Mama V, right? Who is with the Leather Library. Welcome to the Fetish Show.
Thank you, sir.
We tried to catch up with her before, so good thing that we caught up with you now.
Yeah, we got you here in New Mexico, of all places.
Damn.
It's pretty wild.
Well, if you can't catch an Okie in Oklahoma, a couple of states over.
Right?
There you go.
Right?
Did you drive here?
Yes.
What the hell? It's so far away from Penn Square Mall.
When you're traveling with 70-some-odd crates of books and magazines, 14 or 15 art portfolios, maybe 10 or 11 bookcases, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens and a partridge, you got to put it in the van.
We came in a damn mystery van,
we
too.
We came in a van, too.
We did. We came in a van.
It was janky, but
$500 van. Mark's van.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. It did the job, though. We're here.
Hell yes. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Well, what you're talking about is the Leather Library. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about what the Leather Library is?
The Leather Library is a traveling collection of books, magazines, comics, manga, art, portfolios, newsletters, programs, and I could keep going on with this list. That travels from event to event, essentially bringing history to the communities that helped to make it.
Mm-hmm. So what would be in the, besides the like the genre stuff, what type of things would make it into the Leather Library?
Ooh.
Would I make it into the Leather Library?
Yourself or everything you've left behind?
Are you going to be traveling with the Leather Library?
I don't know. I just want to be in it, okay?
Because, I'd probably have to take you upstairs at the end of the day because I wouldn't trust security with you. But now your posters, those I'd leave in the library.
Okay, it's a deal.
So it would be like BDSM stuff or...
Actually, there is all kinds of stuff in the library. The nice thing about it being a private collection is that mm-hmm. I get to find what's kinky.
Right.
And you can find almost anything in the library, from gender bending to body art mm-hmm. to kinky ways to seek out your spirituality. There is a lot of women's history in the library. There are old newspapers, programs... bondage, shibari,
right.
Stuff on DS relationships, stuff on old marriage relationships, mm-hmm. How to make a flogger, how to get out of a chastity belt.
The answer to that is be very, very good.
Or steal the
or
key.
Or not get in one in the first place, maybe.
But if it is or was... or even might be considered kinky, I'm going to see if I can find it.
So how long has the Leather Library been around?
Formally. That's hard to explain because I've been traveling with that collection for a little over 10 years.
Wow, yeah.
It became a corporation a little over a year ago. The corporation was actually a gift from my extended leather family.
Nice.
But
awesome.
It's been a collection of books and stuff since probably the late 70s, and it's
wow.
just grown.
That's very cool. So where have you gone with the library?
We have gone now as far west as Albuquerque.
Yeah, yeah.
As far north as Boston.
Wow.
As far south as Florida. A whole lot of places in between. And to our first college campus.
Nice.
In the early part of May. We were at the University of Chicago.
Oh, very cool.
Do y'all have a mission statement?
The mission statement, without having it in front of me, is essentially to collect history, preserve it, send it back to the people who have made it, so that they understand not only are they not alone, they never have been.
Nice. Is there a plan for the future of the library, say 50 years from now or something, for it to go on and on?
If I've done my job right, notice how I said that, the next generation has discovered that not only do they have a history, they also have a future. And I want that future in the library.
I love that. That right there gives me chills because that is a cornerstone of what I believe and what I practice in my own practice is acceptance of self and that you have a future in what you are.
I mean, when I have my TNG exclusive meeting, and I have at least one each year, the next generation meeting, and I ask them, what else should Grandmom have in the library? And my kids go, well, I was reading Bondage comics. You don't have any.
Sure.
I do now. 1 year later, at the next meeting, I could show them that. Well, Grandmom, I'm reading manga. It's on the shelves. Well, I'm watching Ogenki Clinic. Got that too.
All right.
As
awesome.
Well as the books from 1700s.
I don't know some of these. Do you,
I do.
Mr. Hoover?
I do. I'm into comics and into manga and all, and anime and all that sort of stuff, too. And I definitely was highly influenced by, you know, Bondage Fairies and some of the other stuff that's out there.
Bondage Fairies.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And they are right next to the books from the 1700s.
Right. That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
That's awesome. I like that. I may have some stuff to send to you, actually.
Thank you, sir.
Some pretty, like, independent stuff that maybe I was involved with a little bit.
Cool.
That I'd love to, I would be honored to have in your library.
And I'd be delighted. Truly delighted. What I tell the kids is, if it's just the past, you'll take one trip to, maybe through, and then maybe another, and then you won't come back again, you don't need to. If it's ever evolving, if it's ever changing, that's the only way I can make the next generation understand I can't do this forever. Jill and I may be technically its owners. The reality is we're its custodians.
That's right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't know if you will remember that the first time that I heard about the library, I did mention to you, and you may not remember this, but that we need to support that, that that is something that's very important.
Absolutely,
And I mean, I didn't even know exactly all that it entailed, but I know that this is a time in history that is not really being written about in full scope. It's not really being annotated or documented. And I think it's so very important what you're doing. And I'm very proud of you, and I support you wholeheartedly.
There are actually two institutions, and I can't talk about my own without talking about the Leather Archives and Museum in Chicago. Mm-hmm. People have often asked what the difference is between the two of us, and I go, I'm kind of the Library of Congress.
You travel, maybe?
The Archives is more like our Smithsonian.
I see.
Both institutions are important. Researchers who want to read the writings, the personal writings of someone like Tony DeBlase, or how you two went about founding this show,
yes,
we go to the Archives. If they want to read the magazine, they're going to come to the library. Both preserve history. We do it in
That's
different
amazing.
Ways.
Mm. I think psychology has a lot to learn from your library.
We're working
modern
sure,
psychology.
Sure. In a lot of ways, that's kind of our mission as well.
Yes.
Which is to you know, to give the community a voice. Where in a lot of cases, I believe that other people are writing about and characterizing the community from the outside.
Well said.
While we're doing it from the inside. I mean, we're with the community. We're members of the community. So what we're trying to do is be positive about that and pass on the true message instead of allowing other people to characterize us.
So how many of your shows are archived?
Well, by archived, what do you mean? We have them on the website.
Good. But are copies of the shows also with the archives?
No. Should we have that?
Is there a particular reason DVDs of the past shows aren't at the archives?
Absolutely not.
Because you
maybe
didn't,
we
you
just
didn't
hadn't
tell
thought
us to
about
do
it.
It. That's why. We'll blame it on her.
You're educating us right this second.
That way other people can access them, other researchers can access them, and hear the community's voice from the community.
Awesome.
We're
going to talk to you after this and get some information from you, make sure that happens. I think that's awesome. You said something earlier about giving young writers and young artists like a forum or a place to kind of spread their work.
You betcha.
What? Talk about that for just a minute. Kind
of. Well, stop and think. Most young writers read. They have authors' readings here and there. Mm-hmm. What better place to have a reading than in the library?
That's sure. true, because a lot of people have something they draw upon that they...
Exactly.
That's where they, you know, their roots are. So that's interesting.
So they get to say on whatever website or however they're communicating, if they're going to tweet, if they're going to post it on FetLife, hey, I'm going to be at such and such an event and reading from my new book at such and such a time in the library. That's the fun of having it.
Sure.
Of being able to ask a young writer for a JPG of their cover.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make the poster.
Yeah.
To go up in the library.
Oh, cool.
And I get to publicize it as we travel. Yeah. That's what a library does.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
I would like to add a quick little detail to what you were saying about what the Fetish Show is and does.
Sure.
I want to add that we try to include all genres and all people and in all communities, whether it be leather, whether it be gay, whether it be mine or his or whatever, we try to include everybody.
Hence the reason documenting the show and making it available to researchers is so important.
Well, I guess you will help us with that then. Is that correct? Okay, thank you.
Let's talk about you for just a minute. You've been in the community, or you've been out, you say, for 38 years?
Yeah.
That's amazing. How did you get started in all this? And what was it like 38 years ago?
Smaller.
Sure.
Frightened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guarded.
Isn't it still?
Still very much that
way. Oh, no. Not compared
to
the way
much,
the community
maybe.
Was when I came out. Mm. We were just a few years past the expansion of the infamous community standard. We were still having parties far more at home. There were probably only a handful of pro-doms in each major city.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the canary in the coal mine for the community. She really was the community's doorway.
Mm. I think I'm the only professional practicing dom in the state of Oklahoma that I'm aware of at this time.
That means a lot of things have changed since I left.
Well, I don't know. I do try to check and keep up on that, but anyway, I'm listening to you. I'm sorry.
It was a much smaller community. It was a much more frightened community. The concept of the kind of event that's going on right now,
mm-hmm.
unheard of.
Mm.
We were only, when I came out, 10 years away from the infamous 65 bust of Monique Von Cleef. 64, actually, if you remember that one. That bust
was
made...
Born yet?
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I wasn't born yet.
Once upon a time when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Stop it.
And there were literally a handful of pro-doms in the country.
Wow.
One of the most famous was busted in Newark, New Jersey.
Really?
And busted because there were just the wrong cars in the wrong neighborhood. Excuse me, the Mercedes limo does not belong in a nice upper middle class neighborhood.
Right.
Wow.
The
this
super
is so
stretch
interesting.
Doesn't belong there, and so on.
Wow.
The people who owned the cars were read like a who's who. The problem is police never got to see who got out of the cars.
Mm.
Until eventually they found a charge they could bust her on. They found her client list.
Oh, shit.
Well, no, there was a little hitch to that. All of her clients were coded, and the only key to that code was in her head.
Mm. Exactly.
And rather than betray her friend, she went to jail.
Wow.
Exactly.
And that bust made international headlines.
Wow.
Because believe me when I tell you, the Senate shook, a couple of the royal houses of Europe shook.
Wow.
So did the Supreme Court and most of the Fortune 500.
Right.
Holy
and that's
shit.
Always, I mean, there's a big thing going on right now in Europe, in England, that has to do with the hacking scandal there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy who's like I want to say a treasurer or something, that's involved with the dominatrix. And so that has carried on until today.
It's just that now it's scandalous. 30 or 40 years ago, it would have landed you in jail.
Wow, yeah.
Do you think that in past times that professional DOMs were accepted more into the lifestyle community than they are today?
I can only talk to you about the area where I grew up. Mm-hmm. Jill and I were kinklings in the New York area.
Mm-hmm. Kinklings.
I like that.
And
I don't need to borrow that phrase.
The pro-DOM in the 70s really was our classic canary in the coal mine.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She was the person who vetted that man or occasional woman who wanted to find the community. If she found that client worthy, she would then take him for a night at Hellfire or a night at Club O. If they weren't worthy, they never got past her to find us.
Well, not every client is actually lifestyle-minded or geared or material.
But that's how our community really stayed protected.
How do you feel the lifestyle community accepts professional dominatrix today, or do you think that it has changed?
In all honesty, though, it's hard for me to answer that because I was a child of pros. You know, most of my friends were pro-doms. It's not a big deal. She's just another member of the community. The fact that she's the person protecting me from some maniac just gives her 1,000 extra points in my book. So I've never seen it any other way. I don't know any other way to see it.
Hmm. Thank you. It means a lot to me. Say something, Dirk.
Someone's getting a little emotional.
No, the fuck I am not. I'll kick your ass, goddammit.
Vi, you have won several Lifetime Achievement Awards. What is up with that?
Well, a Lifetime
How many Lifetime Achievement Awards can one person win, for real?
The community gives three that I know of, and the Legacy Award, mm-hmm. which I've also won. Now, what that tells you is not only am I old, I am very old.
Oh, hush.
And having somebody honor you for the body of your work,
mm-hmm.
it's an amazing recognition.
Has to
it really
be.
Is.
Has to be.
Wow.
But three times.
Yeah,
three?
Did I mention
I thought
I'm
you
old?
Said two. What now is she going to
no,
know?
No, it's actually three.
Well, holy shit.
It's actually three. Would you mind listing those for us?
I won the Lifetime Achievement Award from Pantheon of Leather and from the National Leather Association in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, I was given the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award from Blackbeat. And the year after that, I was awarded the Legacy Award from Sweat in the City.
Amazing.
I haven't won any awards.
That's coming.
You're not as old as I am.
I don't think I'm, even if I am, I don't know. You're awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get all of your information out there for everyone. If they're interested in the Leather Library, where would they go?
They would go to see the website at leatherlibrary.org.
All right,
I'm really
excellent.
Quite proud of that.
Yeah. And so, also, if someone was maybe interested in having you come to their event, who would they contact?
They would write info@leatherlibrary.org.
All right, excellent. That's a good deal. Well, Vi, this has been fantastic.
Yes,
it's been educational, and it's been a blast. Thank you. Thank you for giving us this interview.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Mine too.
This is Dominatrix Nancy Ava Miller, the author of Pervert Notes from the Sexual Underground. And you are listening to The Fetish Show.
Thanks once again to Vi Johnson.
Thank you, Vi.
I want to emphasize that if you're interested in the Leather Library, you can go to leatherlibrary.org. Check up on that.
Let's do it.
Or she may be coming to you because the Leather Library travels around.
That's right.
So you ought to check into it. There's a lot of traveling that goes on. I think, and I may be wrong on this, Albuquerque may have actually been as far west as she's ever gone.
At the library, yes.
Yeah, I think that was the longest trip.
Yeah. She was awesome to bring all that stuff and set it up and all the work that she has to do to put that on. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next, we have Dr. Clockwork. You want me to give you a breakdown on Dr. Clockwork?
Yes, why don't you do that?
Dr. Clockwork was on the executive board of the International Violet Wand Guild for the past 3 years. As an educator, he has lectured on many topics of deviant behavior across the United States.
He was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested, listen, what we got, I mean, when we get into these interviews, you never know exactly what you're going to get. You could get someone that could talk for 30 seconds, or you could get someone that really has like a deep knowledge of what it is that they're, you know, the wares that they're hawking. And in this case, what we got was a great lesson on the violet wand from Dr. Clockwork. I mean, he really knew the history of it, which I think is fascinating because I love violet wands myself.
He was very knowledgeable.
Absolutely. And I think entertaining too.
And kind of cute.
Oh, newsflash. And up next is Dr. Clockwork. We're still at Evolution of the Revolution,
we are
with Dr. Clockwork.
Hello, Mr.
Welcome to the Fetish Show.
Greetings and salutations.
Wow. Where did you come up with that name, Dr. Clockwork?
Oh, dear.
He's sort of steampunkish, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Initially, I wanted to have...
In two words or less.
Two words or less?
Oh, no, no.
Molly
no.
Crabapple.
Damn, I love that. All right.
No, Molly Crabapple is an illustrator, and I wanted her initially to do my web design, but she was like, well, I'm an illustrator, not a graphic designer. So I was telling her about violet wands and, you know, where they came from, that like they, you know, old medicine shows mm-hmm. and things like that. She said, well, why don't you become a steampunk medicine man and I can do an illustration? So
that's fucking wrong.
Very interesting. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a great idea. So I retreated to my underground laboratory, my bedroom, and I came up with the character of Dr. Clockwork.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you have a cool look.
Thank you.
You have a cool top hat with some cool things on it. What
goggles.
Are these? Yeah, goggles. So tell us about the items that you sell, Doctor.
Oh, I love when you call me Doctor.
All right. Doctor.
Well, my primary product is I sell violet wands. Mm-hmm. And
what's the price range on your violet wands?
That's just where I was about to go.
Well, they vary in price depending on what options you get. We specialize in custom kits, so you get all the accessories you want and none that you don't.
Price range there, Doctor?
Ooh, spicy, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
About $550 or so. I've done.
Thank you.
I've done kits that were $300. I've done kits that were $1,300.
What? Wow. Customized, like,
oh, yeah.
What the fuck you do customizing? $1,300 for them? Damn.
So what kind of, what would you have in a $1,300 kit?
Some gold.
Well, that kit, the person wanted pretty much every accessory I had. They wanted two wands and two cases.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And, you know, like, you got to have a backup.
Of course, yeah.
As you do. I mean,
you don't want it to go out and then not have a backup.
He's a medicine man for a reason.
I know. it's also a bit of a Boy Scout. Be prepared.
Actually, that person in particular, they like to dual wand. You know,
nice.
Because
Florentine wanding.
Florentine wanding.
Florentine wanding.
I need to write a class about that.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. What other items? I saw last night in the raffle, there was an interesting dental like that.
Yeah,
can you explain that, Doctor?
Well, you know, sometimes you just need to keep someone's mouth open.
Well, how the hell do you do it with that thing? I don't understand it.
Well,
it's
like
a shoe thing. I don't know.
Well,
bear trap.
There's two. Bear trap. There's two metal pieces that hook onto the front two teeth. On each, the bottom and the top jaw, and you
so
just
around the
it.
Top of the head, around the how the fuck do you get it there?
You keep it closed. You put your mouth on, and you ratchet it open, and they're kind of hooked on the inside, so you can't
pop your jaw open.
I'm confused. Could you demonstrate?
I'll show you later.
No, I'm sorry.
But you know, like bottom line is, you know, sometimes you need to keep someone's mouth open.
Do you?
Well,
for what
open,
reason?
Shut. Not moving is kind of the point.
What reason would you need to keep someone's mouth open there? Anyone?
Use your imagination.
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Well, this is internet radio. I can say whatever I want.
Sure, absolutely.
Fucking is great.
Everyone asks that. Like, everyone today is asking, can I say that? You can say whatever that
we should say that before we talk to everyone.
Cunt,
it's like, say whatever
dick,
you want.
Pussy hell you want.
That sounds like foreplay to me.
I was just trying to come up with, like, I couldn't think of any more, nasty
later,
words.
Honey?
What? Do what?
What are you doing later, honey?
I'm going to find out how to use a dental
thing.
Oh, I could show you how to use that.
Dental mouth thing.
You're adorable.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah, you're mean. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm not mean. Stop it, doctor. We're talking. Never mind. Nothing.
How long have you been in the lifestyle?
Oh,
since he was eight.
Yeah, since I was eight.
Hauser. He looks like he's like 12, doesn't he?
Wow. No, I've been in the lifestyle for about 12 years.
See? I told you 12. That's 12 right there.
12 years, not since I was 12.
So, tell me something else.
I tell you lots of things.
Are you going to be out and about this evening?
Oh, yes.
Later for the rest of the events of this, rest of the activities of this event?
I'm going to be going to the play party. I'm going to be doing a Violent One branding on someone. And
really?
I've never heard of that before.
Can we watch that?
Oh, yeah. If you really want. Yeah, sure. Not a problem.
No,
so what do you have to do? Just really ratchet up the juice there?
Or? Yeah, you turn it on like really high and you use a body contact and a dental pick. And you draw out the design and you very slowly
what
go
do you mean,
over it.
That's cool.
What?
I have one.
Y'all
would you like
weird.
To see what I have? I have one on my back.
Yes, can you take off your
really?
Shirt, please? Please take off
your
shirt.
Oh, my gosh, that could take like 12 minutes.
Can I touch you after you take it off?
Okay.
All right,
really
good. Yeah, I do. I like
you
to touch
me all you want to.
I like to touch people, you know, just for, research.
All right, Dr. Clockwork is disrobing right now.
He's taking off his shirt.
That is really happening.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
it
wow.
says the good...
It says the good doctor.
Dr. Pepper. What the hell? Wait, I didn't get to touch anything.
So
come here. I got to touch some stuff.
Zoe's got to be hands-on. It's no good unless she's hands-on. So Zoe, tell us, is that... Well, she's away from the mic.
No, you can actually not feel it, but he doesn't have hair on his back. Where
so it's
thing.
Not raised. It's just...
It's more like an etching.
It's
however,
not like a branding.
That, where's the hair in that spot? What happened to the hair?
Oh,
it's like it's not like a it's not raised. It's not like a what? How is that? It's like it's like
a. Will that last?
You remember
for a
those
long
things?
Time?
Well, this one in particular is going to last me about 3 years, but that's
because
it was meant to last that long.
Right.
Most of the brands that I do last between 6 months and a year.
So it's a temporary brand.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I never even heard of that before.
It's actually in a new form of body modification that's starting to come into vogue.
Right.
I've actually started selling Violet Wands to tattoo parlors. Yeah, because brands are, very, it's a big commitment and they're very
You're in
painful.
For life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the idea is to make it so that you can try before you buy, if you will.
Right.
How long has this been around, this
Violet Wand branding?
Yeah.
Oh, people have been doing it for maybe about 15 years, but it really has been very... It's been...
Are the results pretty much standard? That it lasts for pretty much... Just, like, you're not going to be like the one in, like, ever that lasts for, like, till you die or something?
Oh, I mean, I could make it permanent if I really
want.
No, but
if you didn't want to do...
Oh, no. I'm just saying that, like, they vary... depending on the skin type, depending on, how fast they do the brand.
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
He says, yeah.
It hurts about as much as getting a tattoo on a bony area.
Well, I don't know about
which
that.
Which hurts.
Because I don't have any
by the way.
Fucking logos to tattoo onto me.
For people, I mean, we're assuming that everyone knows what a violet wand is. Explain what a violet wand is and what you do with
in
it.
In two words or less.
Two words or less.
Violet wand.
Fun toy.
Zappy
quitting. Fun. I don't know. Now, what a violet wand is, a violet wand came from an old medical device called a violet ray. Around the turn of the century, snake oil salesmen would travel the country and have medicine shows.
And they still use them in facials today.
Yeah, they do. And they... they said it would regrow hair and cure cancer and
right.
It did none of those things, but it didn't stop people from making a lot of money saying that it did. And we can use one of those we got a lot of work to do in your head, but
because you're bald, man, it's gonna take us some time.
That's right.
Yeah. In the 1950s, the FDA kind of stepped in and said, no, you can't make these. You can't say that they cure cancer because they don't. So a lot of those companies went out of business, and there was a big split. One was for, they went to, doing cosmetology. because right. it was less regulated by the FDA.
Right.
And then there was also the other direction, which went to industrial applications.
Okay. Which might be...
Oh, like neon testing and... Hmm. Yeah, neon signs.
Oh.
Yeah. People have kind of eventually refound these old items, and they kind of traced where the technology went, and they started using them for kinky purposes.
That's really cool that you know some of the history on that. That's interesting, Doctor.
So it creates like a...
Do what? What did you say?
Oh, no, I heard you. I just said, why are you doing that to me?
What did I do to you?
Teasing me, baby.
You call me baby. You see this dragon tail I have over here? Yeah. You don't call me baby. Yeah, you can call me mistress. You can call me princess. Uh-huh. But you don't call me baby.
Okay.
I like that. Quick okay. That's good. You got points in my book there, darling.
It creates kind of a tingling sensation, almost like a tickling or something.
Yeah,
unless you're branding someone.
Unless you're
it.
Branding, that's another thing
yeah,
entirely.
It can go from like a mild tickle to very
fucking
painful.
Ow, like getting a tattoo.
Fucking ow, that fucking is a tooth. Really good way to put it.
Like a tattoo, fucking tattoo.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I'm getting my hoo-ha pierced like next weekend. So.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I thought I brought that out there. Go ahead. It feels like what? I bet it don't feel like that might feel gonna feel. I'm scared. Sort of.
No, I don't think. I can't imagine that. How that would hurt.
What?
No, I can't imagine like how much that would hurt.
Me either. I don't know. I never had.
All the more power to you. You know, no one's pierced. No one's put needles near my junk. No. Absolutely not. We will not be doing that.
What about, can we violent wand your junk? Can we like?
You know, it's funny.
Come on, let us do it. Me and some other people, like those girls over there.
No, but you know, like every once in a while, like when I'm at my table, I'll have the wand down and I'll accidentally step on the foot pedal to turn it on. And a lot of those tables have that metal edging on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a tall guy.
You're not. How tall are you?
5'6".
What size shoe do you wear?
9.5.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Proceed.
But yeah, so if that table gets electrified and I'm standing a little too close to it, that just teaches you, you got to be very safe.
Right.
Be very conscious of what you're doing. Otherwise, you do zap yourself in the junk. And
oh, so you've done it to yourself.
Probably a lot of fun there.
You are just weird. You did it on purpose. I know you did.
Not going to lie, I have. I have done that.
And he likes it. I like that about you.
No, I'm not going to lie. You know, like, it's a great way to explain, you got to be careful with what you do. And it gets a laugh. And, I'm all about people, about making people laugh. Because people laugh at me all the time.
Well, you can shock yourself in the dick and I'll laugh at you.
Laugh at me all day.
I can shock you in the dick and laugh at you, too. So, either way.
That's cold. That's really cold.
Well, you said you shocked yourself in the dick to make people laugh. I'm like, whatever. You did. You did that, or did you not? Did you not?
I did say that. This is true.
Did you really do that? Did you do that?
Yes, actually, I did.
Well, then why wouldn't you want someone else to do it for you? And then
I don't want someone like. But it's okay when people laugh at me shocking myself in the junk. It's different when someone like shocks me in the junk and then laughs at me.
Why is that so different? how is that so different? Tell me. How?
You understand where I'm going?
I don't get it. I do. Yeah.
I do not get it. I don't get it.
With you and laughing at
like,
you.
Or if you
no
like.
No man
oh my
wants
God.
A woman laughing at his junk.
For any reason.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You are both incorrect. Both of you are incorrect.
Oh, well.
Incorrect.
Right. Some people pay,
okay, yeah,
some people
pay
$300 an hour for that.
That's a very good point. However, I am not willing to pay $300 an hour to have someone laugh at my junk. So, believe me, people do that for free all the time.
Oh, but I'm bummed.
Whatever. Can we
he'll
like
be here all week.
Get off of your junk?
Yeah, remember the 5:30 show.
Let's get on to your trunk.
7:30 show. Try the veal.
There you go. All right. So if someone is interested in violet wands or anything else that you sell, where would they go?
Or your
junk. They would go to drclockwork.com.
And you can actually buy stuff from that site, or do they have to contact you or through it? Or
yeah, you can contact me through the site if you would like a custom kit. We also have 9 different stock kits on our website.
Very cool.
Ranging from about $300 to our signature kit.
$13,000 million.
$13,000.
To about $1,000.
That's right.
Damn. No, I'm just saying damn because it's... Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, the only thing that's left to say is, Dr. Clockwork, thank you for being on The Fetish Show.
And thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Dr. Clockwork for that interview.
Yes, thank you.
If you're interested in seeing what Dr. Clockwork is selling or get some more information, you can go to drclockwork.com. That's drclockwork.com. Right?
That's right.
All right. Up next, we have Molly from...
Call me Miss Molly.
Let me make sure that I get this right, because it's kind of long and it's late at night. She's from the Self-Serve Sexuality Resource Center. I got that in one.
Yes, you did.
I want an award. I want some cookies. I want some pumpkin cookies with some cream cheese on top.
I'm just taking Molly.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad either, because Molly's hot.
Molly's hot. That's what I said. Good golly, Miss Molly.
I think she was a little... I think she liked you. I think she liked you, Princess O.
Well, of course she did.
Of course she did. Why would she not?
That's exactly right.
So up next is Molly. All right, we're still at Evolution of the Revolution, and in front of us is Molly with Self-Serve Toys. Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Albuquerque.
Thank you. I'm liking Albuquerque. It's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, and you're seeing the kinky bunch.
No, well, right. Right. We don't see
the...
fun
city.
Yeah. All right. So tell us a little bit about Self-Serve Toys.
So Self-Serve Toys has been around 4.5 years, and we are a sexuality resource center based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we are a woman-owned and run education-based sex shop.
You said resource center.
Yeah.
Expand, mm-hmm. please.
So, you know, of course, like, there's no place for people to really easily learn about sexuality, kink, how to do something. Mm-hmm.
So,
do
you do demonstrations there?
We have classes that are fully clothed because they're legal.
Right.
Yay. But yeah, we do classes, and we sell lots and lots of books. Like, if someone wants to read a book about sexuality.
That is cool, because I wondered for the longest time when I was younger, like, do I look like everyone else? Because, you know, with guys, it's all, like, out there.
Yeah.
But girls are like, what the fuck?
There's
am I from this planet?
There's still so much ignorance, obviously, about sexuality, our bodies. And we want to just, it's a sex-positive place that we're
awesome.
Like, you know, sex is healthy, pleasure is good for you, and you deserve
and buy
to feel
our
better.
Toys.
Yeah.
And toys. Toys.
And, yeah, we sell a lot of things that vibrate.
What do you have there? can I touch? Holy shit! Can I touch
it's
your?
It's such a wow! That thing really gets going.
Holy moly!
And well, I brought a stronger one. Yeah, I brought a stronger one. This other one.
Okay, this is like a blue. No, this is a blue.
I love
that. Ooh, that thing sounds like
it's like we're on an airplane.
Wait,
that sounds like something that Darth Vader would use or something.
Wait, hold on. How long of a tube is this? One at a time, Molly.
I know. I get excited because you know it's okay to use multiple toys at once. You know that, right?
No.
No, but you're holding.
Oh my god! I can't turn it off.
You're holding what we call the hotter pop. It has three speeds.
Okay, describe it visually.
So the reason we called it the hotter pop is because they remind us of those icicles that
can,
you get
can
for
you
cheap.
Demonstrate yeah. Can you demonstrate that? Can you demonstrate that for me?
And it's basically a 5-inch little power bullet that's
5 inches?
Well, it's not really meant to be inserted all 5 inches, but it is a 5-inch little vibrator that's plastic.
And it's
three
blue.
Speeds.
It's blue.
Waterproof.
It's electric.
How the
blue.
Hell do you like get the different speed?
So push the button.
Oh. Okay. It has a button on one end.
And at our store and online, we have lots of reviews and videos about vibrators.
So how
and stuff.
Do you use right. this one in particular?
That one. Well, most vibrators are used on the clitoris.
Okay.
Hey, you
so
guys are online, so you can say anything, huh?
You can
say
whatever
you
want.
So you just put this on. Can I put it on yours now?
Not right now.
Damn it.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of educator.
Damn it.
But yeah,
I wanted a demo.
Vibrators are great all over the clitoris. And above the clitoris, if you're very sensitive,
and this
around
one
the
here
side,
is...
I'm holding the Mimi, which is really strong.
You want to put it on my clitoris?
I don't know. What can we do under this table? Oh, wow.
You can do whatever you want.
I know. I just met you, but that's cool. We're very friendly
you're not
here
a slut
in Albuquerque.
Oh, wait, I am.
But the Mimi is this is a silicone rechargeable waterproof vibrator.
It's waterproof, Dirk. Look at that.
It's really strong
God,
and really,
really
quiet.
It's shaped like a what was
it's like a river stone.
There was a toy shape like that. What was that? It was like a
the egg maybe.
Yeah, it was like an egg.
Well,
like
these
egg?
Let me show you this other thing.
It looks like an
so
alien.
This one pulsates too. There's a lot of great technology.
She's
now.
Like putting them to the mic. Okay, it's like pink and a pink egg.
It's shaped like a little river stone, fits in the palm of your hand, silicone, sterilizable.
How would you use this? Never mind.
I mean, most vibes are used around the clitoris, but people love the little toys.
But this is like fits in your hand. So you can put your whole fucking hand on.
Well, it's good for like during oral sex, during intercourse, like if you want to add stimulation on the clitoris.
Okay.
Yeah, you can hold it. I find that most people like when there's many things going on at once. And a lot of women realize that like penis-vagina sex or insertive sex doesn't do it all. Like the clit needs to be involved.
You must have both.
You make it sound so bad.
Well, no, it's not bad. No, people often want
inserter
both.
Insertive sex.
No. You must have a combination of both, Dirk. Let me explain.
All of the above.
Yes. First, you must stimulate the clitoris.
Please explain.
You must stimulate the clitoris for a certain amount of time.
I've never heard of these things
for a long time.
Then
on and off.
Then it's some certain amount of time, undefined amount of time. Then you must insertive.
Yeah,
and
some
insertable.
People and G-spot stimulation's great.
At the same fucking time. Vaginally. It's the, like the clit and the G at the same time. It's like the...
Yeah, and the Wii Vibe is a toy. I didn't bring it over, but the Wii Vibe is a toy we sell that goes inside on the G-spot. And
what?
It's the clitoris at the same time.
What?
It's like a little U-shape.
What the hell? I don't have...
So there's a lot of great toys out there now.
Can I come over to your
Yeah, you should come to the store tomorrow.
Molly, damn.
The other thing that I always want to make sure people know is that it's sad, but there's no regulation in sex toys. None. Like, there's no FDA.
Right.
There's no, like, people making sure that the things that are inserted
into
the body.
That's very interesting, actually.
Wait a minute, Molly. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
That is a very important...
Yeah, because there's toxins in the industry.
Fuck yes. And what if it, like, breaks in there?
Well, not just
shit.
Breaking, but, like, literally, if a toy is made of cheap rubber and mm-hmm. you're inserting it vaginally or anally, mm-hmm. it can be outgassing carcinogens or phthalates. It's this, like, toxin that's used in rubber manufacturing. So self-serve toys is totally non-toxic. But a lot of adult stores sell a lot of crappy toys.
So what do you do? I mean,
well,
is there
you look for silicone
resources?
Toys. Yeah, I mean, you wanna learn about body safe sex toys,
right.
And you wanna use phthalate free or non toxic rubber,
okay.
And you wanna use silicone rubber. So
what about professionally? Do you suggest anything in particular? I'm just wondering.
You mean
somebody wants to know
toys?
Yes. I mean, not for me, just my friend.
Yeah, you know. I know. Yeah, I'm filling in for a friend, too. Yeah,
I see, yes.
Yeah, I don't like toys at all. I mean,
I know this girl, and she said, you know, well, what kind of toys is the best, you know, for if you were going to be doing something professionally?
Well, I think very much, like, it's good to have just safe things and follow your gut, like your intuition. Like, use things
well,
that feel
some
good.
Well, because some things are, like, melty, like, after it's been,
yeah.
And you cannot put certain things side by side.
Exactly.
What
you've seen, like,
is
there's
up
cheap
without.
Rubber toys, they, like, outgas, and they can change colors or textures.
Yeah,
on
whatever, and it looks like doo-doo. It looks like doo-doo on your dick. Oh, my God, there's doo-doo on your dick. I'm not touching it.
Yeah, and, you know,
and
some
you gotta
people
throw
are
it away, and
great.
It's clean. And it looks like dookie.
Well, basically, yeah, you're seeing cheap jelly rubber toys react to each
other.
And if something's
like,
that,
on the bottom, like where it's like laying like this, she told me that like if it was laying
yeah.
flat, you know, like it gets like this flat spot on the.
Yeah. Yep, I've seen that.
What
and
the
so
fuck?
That's just cheap rubber. I mean, you know, you just deserve safer toys. You don't need a sex toy to give you any. You know, toxins in it. So definitely look for phthalate-free, you know. As long as it's phthalate-free, there's plenty of dildos,
so,
vibrators that are
so can
totally
you put
safe.
Your toys side by side mostly?
If you get real silicone, medical-grade silicone toys, they will not fall apart. They will not outgas. They will not change colors. They will not react to
what
other toys.
What causes it to change colors? Like bleeding?
Because they're outgassing. They're really soft.
Fucking
so
outgassing dildos.
It's creepy.
An outgassing goddamn fucking dildo.
Like,
what the hell is that shit?
Doesn't sound
what
nice.
What the fucking hell?
Yeah. And I don't like to be Debbie Downer, but I like to educate
whatever.
People
I do.
On, like,
I want to know
no,
about
I think
this
is awesome.
Miss
yeah.
Molly?
If someone
yeah.
picks up a package or
oh.
something, is there something they can
yeah.
see on there?
Well, the main thing is knowing that the labeling isn't regulated, don't go by what it says it's
okay,
made of.
Right, right.
But if it is from a trusted store, so go to stores you trust.
Like yours.
There's a new group called the Progressive Pleasure Club that's
there
a network we're in.
There you go.
Progressive Pleasure Club stores are all over North America. And it's not a chain. It's basically a network for stores like Self Serve Toys. If you were in, say, Baltimore, you could go to Sugar the Shop. It's a education-based safe shop. If you were in you know, Minneapolis, you could go to Smitten Kitten or Smitten Kitten
Online.
I understand
what you're
saying. Do they have a website or something?
You know, we have a Facebook page. It's still very new.
You need a website.
Yeah, I know. Progressive Pleasure Club is our group, and we're going to basically help people all over the country find the safe shop near you.
Awesome.
So you're involved in it?
Yes. Yeah, we founded it, and it's it's like a professional network, too, for like all the shop owners.
Let me just say something. Yeah. If you guys want some promotion on this sort of thing, we would love to push you on the Fetish Show.
Sure.
Because I think this is an important deal. I want to get completely behind it.
Product testing.
Yeah. Right. We have a lot of volunteers for that.
I'm sure you do.
Well, wait a minute. But they're not me.
No, but seriously, and we want the industry to be regulated. So we want to fight for the manufacturers to make safer, better toys. So that's part of what we're going to do.
So Molly, if in fact you were going to use a toy, which I'm sure you would never think of it, which would be your favorite,
in theory? Well, I think what I like doesn't necessarily matter for what someone else might take home. But I recommend if you're unsure of if you're unsure of what vibrator to take home, get something with multiple speeds so that you can like feel a range of sensations. I love that like the Mimi or the Wii Vibe I mentioned, like all of those toys, they have lots of settings, like 9 functions.
What's
pulsations.
Your biggest seller?
The Wii Vibe is huge.
It's a good question.
The Wii Vibe is a little C-shaped toy, and
hook that up to your computer or your Game Boy or something.
Because it says we on the front
of it. Yeah, that's right.
Or
we.
I.
Yeah.
I Vibe.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that now. I mean, there's definitely toys out there now that you can use like
remotely.
Yeah, remotely and with your music and stuff like that.
No fucking way.
Oh,
that's
actually
pretty cool.
High-tech toys. It's the future. A lot more rechargeable toys.
Wow.
But yeah, get silicone toys. We have a lot of toys from Fun Factory, which is, you know, silicone and high quality. There's a new toy for men for prostate stimulation that's great. That's called the Duke. That one's amazing. The Duke.
I'm going to write that down. I know someone who might need it.
It's rechargeable, too. And it's like ergonomically designed to fit a man very beautifully.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Who tests your products? I mean, do you have people
that
test
them? Well, we have a small, hardworking staff.
Great.
Dedicated.
Good. Very good.
The word is dedicated.
So you actually do test your products.
We really have a community of people that, like, someone real that we know is going to review something.
Yeah.
And actually, our website, Self-Serve Toys, has... selfservetoys.com has video reviews on it, mm-hmm. as well as
that's
like,
important.
On our
Listen,
channel.
That is important to me. Okay, mm-hmm. that's very fucking important to me.
Yeah, because there's so much hype. You know, it's
recently I tested a product. It was horrible. Oh my god!
We're gonna do
yeah,
it.
You don't want
don't
toys
put
to
it
cause
on
a
there. Holy fucking yes! And I was like, ah!
I think we're gonna do a story time.
It was swollen. I was like, it was like meat. There's like a fucking chopped beef over there. Oh, no, god damn.
Beef.
You really know how to
no.
talk flattering.
I don't know, like a side of beef or some shit. It was like, it wasn't raw.
Zoe, I don't think you're doing good work for the ladies.
I don't
out
care
there right now.
No, I'm talking about mine. I mean, what it happened to me?
Well,
I think
there's, and that's the thing about the lack of regulation. It's like, okay, well, you know, we have lube that's glycerin-free.
Well,
it won't get sticky.
The advertisement
for
this was all medical sounding, mm-hmm. you know, and everything. And it's like, you know, put this on there and this great stuff is going to happen. No, the fuck it did not.
No. Do
I was like,
beware of creams and lotions.
And oils.
Supposed to like
start with Z and end with A. They're fucked up and shit. And,
wow.
And yeah.
You're swollen for like 24 hours, and it's like, what the hell? No, I'm sorry, I'm listening to you.
I totally understand. A lot of women come into our store and they're like, well, I tried this thing that was on TV and on a commercial, and it said it would feel really good, and it caused my pussy to burn. And we're like, that's not okay.
But did any of them like swell? I mean, like swollen.
I've
like,
heard all
holy
kinds
shit.
Okay, I'll tell you another.
Like chopped beef?
I have to say something fun after this because it's like, I don't like talking about negative stuff all the time, but there are a lot of creams out there. And if they have L-arginine in it, it's something that brings blood to the surface, mm-hmm. which makes sense because arousal is blood going to the genitals.
That's an herbal thing or something, isn't it?
Well, it's a chemical that, you know, it naturally can cause blood to come to the surface. Many, many, many people, like 1 out of 5 or something like that, have genital herpes, right?
Oh.
And if you have herpes, it will potentially cause an outbreak for people. And so we realized, like, we're not going to sell a product that, you know, a lot of people could not
shit.
Buy, you
right.
know, or they don't know it's going to cause them an outbreak.
So is there medical, you know, resource or information to back up that, what you just
said?
Well,
yeah, I mean, basically people, I mean, I think there's a lot of lack of knowledge of, like, you know, how common HPV and herpes and stuff like that are, but I think it's important that people know, like, even if something is not going to kill tickle you, it might really annoy you and right. feel bad.
It might. It might make your pussy swell like a fucking side of beef or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Then you cannot fuck or anything.
Yeah, but our website also has lots of resources. So if you ever want to learn more about sex mm-hmm. or, you know, just ask questions or, you know, whether it's about safer sex or BDSM or like finding a kink aware professional or whatever, like there's tons of resources, both Albuquerque based and national. Yeah, we have books on that too.
Well,
you know, I recommend the Honorback's Guide to Lesbian Sex.
Well,
it's not
exactly the easiest thing.
We're all different, men, women.
Well, for girls to hook up because they're all kind of like waiting for each other to make the first move. I think maybe.
Well, change the pattern, make the first move. You know, that's what I'm saying.
And then they're like, no.
Yeah, no, you can flirt. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I flirt all the time.
Yeah, no, we're big fans of people just like learning. I think the important thing is like whether it's like hitting on a lady for the first time or like learning how to give a good blowjob. Like you never know. Like no one's gonna tell you in school. I ask people like when we do workshops, I'm like, okay, how many people had sex ed? And like, you know, five people raise their hand.
Useless.
And then I'm like, okay, how many people had comprehensive sex ed? And like one person raises their hand.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, how many people had sex ed where you learned how to have sex? And of course everyone's like, ha ha ha. Sex
right.
doesn't teach you
right.
how to have sex.
Like, that's absurd.
Yes. And it's like, well, how the hell are we supposed to know how then?
Of course.
You know, and a lot of people obviously just learn by trial and error, which is cool. Experimentation is cool.
So you're saying you have
we
a book that teaches girls how to have sex.
It can be a fun way to learn.
Yeah. Sex is Fun is another great book that just came out. It's the first graphic novel style sex book.
Wow.
So we have it over at
I
our
like
booth
that.
At Self Serve Today, too.
So there's a book that teaches women how to have sex with each other?
There's very many wonderful books about
that.
I did not know that.
I
Honorback's Guide to Lesbian Sex, the whole lesbian sex book. Sex is Fun
contains lots of tips. I'm not very good at this, Dark, I think.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I didn't read that book.
I think also there's probably going to be willing participants that might want to help you learn.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Where? Where the fuck are they at? No, they're not either.
Well, I can't speak to Oklahoma City, but I know that there's always ladies looking for new friends. So, yeah, I heard FetLife is a really good website.
You might want to check into that. Oh, wait, you've got one of those.
I'm sorry.
That's why I love FetLife. You can put out whatever you want to say.
I know, but what if you have like a, you know, like qualifications you wanted to go by?
Tell people what they are.
Qualifications.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Right.
Qualifications.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Back to you. You are so cute. And
well, thank
you.
You
are vested into what you do. I can tell that. And
well,
you are totally passionate about it. And you have like a hand holding a...
It's a vibrator. Viva
La Vibrator. Yes, it's a heart with a hand in the middle holding a vibrator.
Yeah. Viva La Vibrator.
And you have really cool bangs. It's like
thank you.
So, it's just pinup style there.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're all about healthy, sex positive, loving and kink and whatever floats your boat, you know?
Yeah.
And I think like there's too much shame and guilt and
Fuck
pain in
yes.
the world. And it's like
for
people
sure.
just got to find out who they are and be proud and okay with it. You know,
right.
we want to help.
So how do we reach her like to get this?
Yeah. So if people are interested, do you have like a cart on your site where people could order?
Yeah. Selfservetoys.com. You can shop online. A lot of the toys I mentioned are on there.
Right.
And you can also
you got videos,
find a lot of sex ed stuff.
Reviews.
And
yep.
books.
Video reviews.
Very cool.
We've got like both product info as well as kind of shopping advice, like how to choose a vibrator and, you know, how to choose a lubricant and things like that.
And if you're in Albuquerque, where would they go?
They would go to our store, which is Self Serve Sexuality Resource Center, and it's at Central at Morningside in Upper Knob Hill. So on Central on Route 66.
Open on Sundays.
Yeah, open on Sundays, open every day at noon. So everyone should stop by. And I tell people, it's like once you go in, you get it, because it's like a little boutique that's really cute. And
yeah
we have local chocolate and massage oil. And
we need
and
to go there, Dirk, on our way out of town.
I think
maybe.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
maybe we take a picture of something.
Yeah.
Like the floor.
Just the floor.
the floor.
That sounds exciting.
Well, maybe the floor if you're wearing a strap-on to try it on, and then you're looking down at the floor.
There you
what? You let
and
people try on strap-ons
cock.
There?
Well, with their clothes on.
What the we're fucking going there on the way out of town.
All right, we're done.
Do you have like an assortment or just like one? There, like one Big Joe.
There's all different kinds of harnesses.
Big Joe.
Big Joe or Little Toe. What
I
the
recommend
fuck?
If it's in stock, go check out Lucky or check out the Bandit. Yeah, go try those on.
The Bandit.
Yeah, they're bigger.
Zoe and the Bandit.
Your new best friend.
I like my dick. I need to go.
I recommend a selection of dicks.
Fuck yes. But do you know
I'm
in the
like,
state
when they're strap-on, why not have more than one?
But because in the state of Texas, you cannot have more than 7 insertables on your person at any one time. I don't know what the fuck
Texas.
Happens after 8.
Hey, I'm lucky. We feel very pleased that there was a wonderful toy party educator only, it was like 2 years ago that helped us legalize sex toys in Texas because it was illegal. Sex toys were illegal in Texas.
Oh, I have a friend who owns a store down in Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. She's the only one in the region. She's been arrested.
Yeah,
God. She's been... it's been
people don't realize our
Come
country
on.
Is still a little bit hung up on
but
the sex.
But she does not sell dildos, by the way.
She can't?
She does not. She sells novelty items and stuff.
That are shaped like dildos.
They are not dildos.
They are art.
They're right. Art.
We sell art too.
Pieces.
Art that's all different colors. Some that's really great for the G-spot. Some that's glass,
so they say.
Metal.
We don't know exactly. Because they're not dildos. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I like that. It's like a PSA.
All right. Well, Molly, thank you for being on the Fetish Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to listening and seeing you all at Self Serve.
Awesome. Yeah, we're gonna drive by there
going
tomorrow.
There. Yes, we are. And some strap-ons.
Very cool.
See ya.
That was Molly with the Self-Serve Sexuality Resource Center.
Yes, it was.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
We actually went by there on our way out of town. Shot a little video there and got to see the place in person. Awesome little setup they have going on there. And it was really cool.
We shot a little video package there, which is still not up on the site.
But it will be soon.
Which is pretty much my fault.
Okay, that's okay. We'll do it soon.
I think it'd be interesting. I think you did a really good job on that thing, so please keep an eye out for that.
And if you didn't hear your interview on this episode, keep checking the website because we're going to have some bonus interviews up soon, shortly after this interview is posted. After this episode is posted.
Right. We did quite a few interviews. One of the things that was really different about this event is that we had excellent coordination with the staff on this deal.
Yes, we did. They were awesome.
They didn't,
Sarah Miles.
They didn't just give us a table and walk away and then talk to us at the end of the show. They coordinated with us during the entire event to make sure that we had access to vendors and to guests and helped us.
Presenters, yes.
Yeah, and helped us lined up the interviews. And that's really the best way to do this sort of thing. If you're going to have us come out there, you got to talk to us because we don't always recognize people, by their face or whatever.
They also had us listed on their, when you come in and you sign up at the door, you sign a...
like a waiver.
Like a waiver, right. And they had us listed, actually printed on the waiver, that we would be the media there. And so that was nice. I appreciate that. So thank you for that.
Right. Well, what it did is it kept people from hounding us constantly about taking pictures. Because we take pictures, and in particular, we take pictures of, what's going on our wall or, us doing the recording or whatever. We're not necessarily, taking pictures of what's going on at the event.
Yeah, we never would take pictures of anything or anyone that wasn't welcomed, so.
But we're a multimedia establishment, and so it's necessary for us to record both video and photography, and so it helps to have us on the waiver so people understand that we're covering what we're doing,
right?
And that people who consent to being either photographed or videotaped can get up there and be involved in that too, and it's okay.
That's right.
I want to talk about a little bit about Albuquerque for just a second.
What would you like to say?
Well, I really liked Albuquerque.
Albuquerque
is a beautiful town. I enjoy the desert a lot. Some people say they don't like the desert. I love the desert. In the morning, I like to get up and, drink coffee and read the paper and stuff. There is no better view than to get out there in the mountains when that sun is coming up. in the desert. It's really amazing.
Is that why you're out there on the balcony there?
Yes, I love that. I fucking love that. Also, I will tell you something else. We went downtown on Sunday. This event was actually on Friday and Saturday. And by Sunday, you know, you're pretty much wrapping everything up. We went downtown to a place called the 66 Diner.
Oh, that was awesome.
Because it's on Route 66. Yes. You know, Albuquerque is part of Route 66. They had a 66 Diner, which, I mean, I don't know what the history of the place is, but it looks like an old, you know, 1950s diner.
Okay, yeah. It was
and,
cool.
Oh, man, I had a bacon cheeseburger there that was spectacular.
I spent a lot of time in the mystery van changing clothes to get ready for going over to
She was getting ready for the video package.
Yes.
The mystery van.
Whatever.
What she was doing is eating Scooby snacks.
I was trying to eat and get dressed and hurry and every damn fucking thing else. It was a lot of work.
Oh, my God. I also want to mention something else. We did the hotel that we were in was really awesome. It was the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino there in Albuquerque. It was kind of on the outskirts of Albuquerque. It was a casino, which meant that, you know, you had all the amenities of, you know, the places to eat and all of the things to do. They had gift shops and stuff.
Yes.
We went to eat breakfast at a place that was awesome. I mean, just amazing. Every morning I had something different there.
Their oatmeal is rocking, man.
Seriously, like the best oatmeal I've ever had in my life.
Like a gigantic fucking bowl of oatmeal.
It was huge. It was like something you would serve to a brontosaurus.
Yes, it was.
And the brontosaurus would be like, that's a lot to eat.
It was awesome. The staff was awesome.
Yeah.
And in the gift shop, I bought these leather bracelets, these bands. They were awesome, cool. Alan Scott is to thank for that. And you should check this guy out. He does leather for the celebrities, and I think he has a website there.
He does, and it's the longest name ever. It's outlawjewelryrebelleather.com.
There you go.
And we will put that on this deal if you can't remember the organization of those names.
And actually, I'm wearing one of his creations in a photo shoot that we did not too long ago.
Yeah, we'll post that too, actually.
Yes, and we'll do that.
Yeah, he does great stuff.
Yes,
there should be a lot more of his stuff on his website. Unfortunately, there's just a few items, but
he's on Facebook too.
He is on Facebook. Yeah. It seems like he's very, very active on Facebook. Just look him up, Alan Scott.
That's right.
And he goes by Rebel Leather. You should be able to find him pretty easy on Facebook. But man, his stuff is really cool. It's unique kind of leather bracelets
kind of and rock and rollish.
Yeah, really rock and roll unique stuff. And I mean, you can see why celebrities and rock stars enjoy his work.
And Princess Zoe,
which we got at the gift shop and stuff. You know, it being a Hard Rock hotel, they've got all these really cool rock photos, and they've got like outfits of No Doubt and Elvis.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. A bunch of guitars from Vampire Weekend and, you know, the Eagles and, you know, everything that you can imagine. It's just fun to be around there.
The best thing about that hotel is the staff, in my opinion.
You're so right.
They're fucking rocked.
I wish.
So thank you to the staff of the hotel and casino, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino
in Albuquerque,
New Mexico.
Yeah. There's a lot of them all over the place, apparently. And if they're all run like that, then it's pretty amazing, to be honest with you.
I have a feeling this one may be unique.
It may be. Listen, the people were exceptionally nice and really, really sharp. And by sharp, I mean they were just on it. You know, they wanted to help you
out.
There
was like no problems with anything.
No problems. Really
Everyone
laid back.
Cool. Yeah.
Totally. They were very, very cool. I've got one other person that I want to make sure to thank, and that is Moonlight Creations, because I got this metal paddle.
Yes, you did.
You know, when you go to these events and they have people set up, you know, with their wares or whatever, sometimes you'll see something and you'll be like, I don't know if I can afford that, or I don't know what I'm going to do with that or whatever.
Invariably, you better get it then. If you see something, you better get it then.
If it's
it will not
handmade,
be around.
And most of that stuff is, man, if you don't get it then, you will regret it forever.
Weren't these vendors cool as shit, though, too? I mean, they let me try on their corsets at this one place, and the guy that did your leather or your metal paddle, he actually had the girls inside the cage that one night, and It was an awesome group of vendors out there, I should say.
He got the hottest girls there besides Princess Zoe and stuffed them into this
cage
ornate.
Yes, it was.
Metal cage that he had. And he got, while it was stuffed full of people, he got on top of it and was crawling around. I mean, it was amazing because this was not like some huge, heavy construction.
No.
It didn't.
It wasn't like a shark cage that you would low into.
It was not. It was not. But it was very ornate. It was beautiful. I mean, it was a work of art.
It was really cool.
And the same sort of details that he had on that, he had on this metal paddle. And I loved it because it looks like something that...
You should take some pictures of that and put it on the side.
Well, I should. That's a good idea.
Let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, the neat thing, being a metal paddle, it's intimidating. It's really awesome. But, you know, besides that, you can take it and you can put it in ice.
Yeah, I think so, that's how you came to find it, wasn't it?
It is.
Of ice.
They had on that first night, they had this thing in near the bar and they stuck it in some ice where they had
frozen.
Some beer. And they pull this thing out and they're like, hey, this thing, you know, gets cold and you can use it for sensation play besides the fact that it's a big intimidating metal paddle.
You wouldn't want to stick your tongue on
that. It was fantastic. I loved it. So I had to have it. Yeah, I'll take pictures of it, put it on the side. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Is there anything else that you want to say? I think we've missed
Saint
a few
James.
People that we want to
we'll say
that we want to thank for sure. Let's thank them.
Yeah, St. James. I think he was in charge of the door at least. A lot of other goings on around there, and he had a proposal that weekend. So I guess he's getting married if he hasn't gotten married already.
Oh yeah, very good.
Sarah Miles, thank you very much. Nancy Ava Miller, thank you very much.
Nancy Ava Miller is the one who told us about this and said we needed to go.
Yes, she did. She kind of hooked us up.
And Sarah Miles was fantastic as far as I was talking about the coordination with the event.
And she looked great. We need to interview her, actually. We need to interview her.
Absolutely.
We need to set up an interview with her soon.
Well, what I want to mention is that there's going to be an Evolution of the Revolution number 3. And that's going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico again. It is slated to be at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino,
woo-hoo,
so you can definitely go check that out. It's going to be September 14th through the 16th. And if you're interested in it, you can go to NewMexicoFetLifers.com.
All right.
And there's also Evolution of the Revolution 2012 on FetLife, of course.
That's right.
They've got a group on there. How can you not have a group on there?
That's right.
All right. Well, do you have anything else that you want to add?
I don't. I think that about covers it.
Hey, thanks.
Had a great time.
Thanks to everyone at Evolution of the Revolution. Really, seriously, a first-class event.
Yes, it was.
It was a blast. The presenters were great. The staff of the show was great. And the venue
staff.
Was amazing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It was first
we
class.
We hope to go back again.
Absolutely. Well, I guess that'll do it. If you're interested in hearing other episodes of The Fetish Show, then we'd like to invite you to thefetishshow.com, where you can also see all the links and information and some pictures of, like, my metal paddle. And you can also see Princess Zoe get shined up by Jason DuBois.
That's right.
Also on the site right now. That's at thefetishshow.com. And I guess that's it. Thanks to everyone for listening to us. For Princess Zoe, I'm Dirk Hooper, saying, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.